Well, greetings. This is Two Brothers, One Podcast. This is the genius idea we had to do podcast episode explaining each song off our lovely new album, Star Thief. My name's Max.
This is Robert.
And believe it or not, we're not brothers. There's actually three of us. And it's about time we talk about it. I'm tired of everyone mistaking us for brothers. We don't even look alike.
You always like tell the same joke at every show, just like throughout the set, figure out which one.
Yeah,
the
guess,
brothers.
guess which two. Are
and
brothers.
I think it's really funny because like none of us look like we could be related to any of us. I don't look like you. I definitely don't look like Dylan. Dylan doesn't look like any of us.
I'm trying to think of like the weird family that would be like. Like, knowing all of our parents, like, what timeline would that have been?
The some fucked up multiverse.
Yeah. It's like, or Spider-Man and all that. So, this is episode 5, and we're on the song Contrast, which I didn't have to do a damn thing.
Except just blow out your voice. Every
Which
single time.
Which is blow out my voice. yeah. So I don't really like doing this song live because it... No.
Two Brothers, One Podcast featuring Marge Simpson.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can do. Yeah. So if for those of you who don't know, there is absolutely no guitar being played. It is just bass, which I guess bass guitar, but whatever. There's just bass and drums, and
I was gonna say there are no 6-string instruments on here, but
I know.
There are.
Boo, Dylan. Yeah. So there is 6-string bass guitar. There are drums. There's a pinch of synths and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, on every song.
There is no guitar being played, which was in our initial idea for the song. Right.
I feel like we've talked to people about this song before, and they've asked like, how do you get that tone? It's like, I don't know, ask Dylan.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people have reviewed that song. Not a lot of people. People have reviewed and they're like, yeah, the guitars are blah, blah, blah. Like, there are
like,
no guitars, my friend.
Like, it's super muddy. It's very low sounding. It's like, because it's a bass.
It's a bass,
it's
yeah.
It's a bass, bud.
I have, and you know what? You're sitting right behind it. None other than the Sun 300T. And that is my favorite bass amp. To record, and especially like, yeah, with its distorted tone is something fierce.
Yeah.
Love that amp. That's what we used. Mm-hmm. And yeah, our initial idea for the song, like the writing of it, was just you two.
Yeah, and so for like every song we have, we have a song, we have a name that we call the song, and the name that's on the actual. The name of the song itself.
Yeah, the track.
Like before,
title
before it had a title.
Yeah.
And so we call the song Irk because it's a play on the band Irk that has a very similar structure of like just bass, drums, and yelly stuff.
For those of you who don't know the band Irk, definitely look them up because, yeah, they're from Leeds.
Oh, England.
Yeah. Believe it or not. Yeah, actually, yeah, look that up. And that was a huge influence. For me, I could say like I love that band. It's just bass, drums, vocals.
One of those bands where like you listen to it and you're just like, oh, people can do this,
yeah,
and like do it well,
and they do it well, man. It like doesn't sound empty or anything. It's like it almost sounds heavier because of it.
Yeah,
I love that band. And then
yeah,
I don't want to say the chorus or the hook of the song.
Yeah, the thing that repeats.
Yeah,
yeah.
The it will all hurt, and I dare I even mention it, but you know what?
Do it.
It's a reference to a band that both Dylan and I were in with our homie Jack Hirsch.
Shout out to Jack Hirsch. Have you seen him recently?
No.
Full beard, thick head of hair,
really?
Like full on mountain man status. Okay. He's embracing the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, yeah. He's moved to Oregon and he looks like it. Yeah. that was a band that we were in that was the same structure of just bass, drums, vocals. And so it's an absolute homage to that band because that was something fun.
Which in itself was an homage to...
To Urk, so, yeah. That was, yeah, just how much we liked that band and what we could do with that. So that's where that line comes from. That's the only line I wrote for the song. The rest is all done by then none other your absolutely lovely wife, Becky Thomas. She has a last name now.
Yeah. Not legally, but
really?
No, I haven't changed it yet.
Oh, so you don't do that when it's done or what?
No, you have to like do paperwork and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought there was paperwork already involved.
Not like we didn't do all of the paperwork. There is so everybody out there. There's so much paperwork involved in getting married.
Really?
It's not just like a like the hand of God just like tapping you both on the head, being like, "All right, good job."
Well, back in the day, it was just more for like property.
Yeah, it's a lot less political nowadays, but I suppose it still could be.
Okay.
The Thomas clans and the Bauer clans.
Whatever. Okay. Does she want to be Becky Thomas? Or
eventually,
Becky?
We're just lazy and have other pressing matters.
Let's just call her Becky.
Yeah. Right let's do that.
Becky wrote because you know this was an idea I had posted on Instagram
years ago.
Yeah, calling out to any woman writers who had written anything on the topic of the struggles of being a woman. Should I say woman or woman?
Yeah.
I don't know. Gender specific struggles. How about that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Trying to incorporate all that inquiry.
All inclusive. Yes.
Yeah. So, and you know what? And some people were super interested, like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, send me whatever. And some people were super down and never sent stuff or whatever. Like, and then,
sounds great. Ghost.
Yeah, and whatever, it happens. A lot of people were interested in stuff, and it was cool, but Becky, man, she's a writer and a darn good one at that, if I do say so myself. And so she had writings, plural, like could be like maybe a book's worth of poems, and she sent them all to me.
You had requested this at like just the perfect point in time because she's an English major, she has an English degree. And I think at the time she had just done this like 30-day poetry challenge, and a lot of the poems that she wrote dealt with just the struggles of being a woman. So it's just like, oh, what a better, what a perfect like request to make it such a perfect point in time.
Didn't even plan that out, man. That's great. Yeah. So she sent, multiple poems that were that were excellent, and I got to pick and choose lines, and I kind of had to rearrange and massage them in order for them to fit the song, but definitely like...
It's like there's like musical arrangements, there's like a lyrical
arrangement. Yeah, exactly, and so all derived from her genius, but definitely I just kind of had to rearrange just in order to fit the song with the one thing, it will all hurt, ooga booga booga. But yeah, that was all her, and she actually introduced the term like static noise, which I actually use a handful of times throughout the album. I remember when I was like, that is a damn good line to have right there. And I use that in Giving Up the Ghost. I use that here and there, and all kind of referring to the same thing, a problem that you can't do anything about, so just suck it up. Not even suck it up, but just like acknowledging the fact.
Just let it play.
Yeah, that like, hey, here's this problem, and you know what? Like, all I can do is try, but there's really like nothing that...
Nothing that, that you can really...
Like that resolves this like static noise.
Like that, yep.
And,
I like that.
Just, dude, that was her. That was her, man. So her royalty check's in the mail. Right? No, you know what? I gave her a shirt the last show. She's like, I want to buy a shirt. I was like, no, dude.
She's worn that multiple times, too.
Yeah. Damn right she has. Bet she looks fucking awesome in it, too. So.
Of course.
So, yeah, that was, Becky was a huge part of that lyrically. Mm-hmm. And then...
She wasn't the only one, though, right?
Yeah, she was like the only one that I used, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like lyrically, yeah, it was like mainly her.
Oh, cool.
That because like other people were like down and didn't send, and the people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so it was. Yeah, I want to say it was all her.
Cool.
If there were anyone.
Well, there were. vocal contributions.
That is what I'm getting to.
Gotcha. Okay, that's what I was. I think that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
So like the only voice. You're not the only voice in this song.
No. So on the topic of gender specific struggles, and trying to acknowledge that, I wanted those who deserved it. Yes, I wanted a bunch of women to join me at the very end of the very last refrain of "It Will All Hurt."
Right, when that, like, I'm using air quotes here, that chorus riff kind of like repeats and it comes back in.
And I wanted that to just go super hard, super messy, super just gross and angry and and upset over all of it. And man, did I get some good ones. So I got Hannah Ribble from a local band, Disrupted Euphoria, who's also a teacher here at the studio. Great gal.
Where are we at right now?
Oh, we're here in that studio,
which is called
Music Freaks.
There you go.
In Camarillo, California, where I am with the engineer here.
Cool.
So if you guys want to, like, hey, if you want to sound like two brothers, come record. Product placement. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so, and, you know, music lessons here, music studio, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Hannah Ribble, she's of an aggressive vocalist. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you'd want to, extreme vocalist.
Yeah.
For her band, Disrupted Euphoria, I was like, you got to be on this.
Yeah.
She filled in on that. That was awesome. Had Andy Ziegler, who's been a longtime student here. She's in many local bands. She's in college right now, blah, blah, blah. I could talk. But I had her. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? Because she's got an outstanding voice, a singing voice. She's been singing her whole life.
Right, and of course you're coming here asking her to just, like, hey, just scream in a mic.
Scream, and she's like, I don't know what to do. I was like, dude, I don't know either. And she did awesome, actually. Like, she did this most shrill, like, evil, like, sad. Mm-hmm. I had Vivian Pondella, I believe, because she's also a teacher here. Mm-hmm. She plays in local band Romper, a cool punk band that everyone should check out. I'm trying to think of all of them before I get to the last one. So I can't think of all of them right now because I'm just excited on bringing up the last one, who I wanted here on this episode today. But she is...
she had better things to do.
No, not even that. She's just an actual stick in the mud. She's like, I don't want to do it.
Oh, but so she's just like chilling in the mud right now.
In the mud.
In the goddamn mud.
In the mud. Like a filthy animal. No. I think she's my 10-year-old stepdaughter, Isabella Mendoza. I had her on the mic and... That was, were you there for that?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, I wish you were. That was such a cool thing. Because, like, when I was like, okay, you're going to go into this mic. I'm going to talk to you in these headphones. Here we go. You're going to scream this. Here's the rhythm. You're going to do that. And when she did, of course, she's all shy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, come on, dude. I've heard you do better than that at home, dude. Come on. And so she kind of gets warmed up into it. And then she, like, I would say maybe the third or fourth one, she does this really bitching one where I'm like, oh, dude, that was rad.
That's it.
And I talked to her on the mic after her take. I'm like, all right, dude, how you feeling? And she's like, let me do another one. And I was like, yeah, dude, yeah. So she's like, she's getting into it now. And she did a couple awesome takes that I kind of like pick and choose from. And
it's like therapeutic.
Dude, it was. It was so cool. Sometimes. And it was like cool to get her into that because she's just 10 years old.
Yeah.
She ain't done nothing with her life. She ain't never screamed in a microphone before. So it was just cool, and it was cool to have her part of that because just to foreshadow all the problems she's going to have.
Good luck.
Yeah, spoil good the surprise. Like, yeah. Don't be surprised when you encounter these problems because you were on this song. Yep. So, which I thought was, super cool.
So lyrically, vocally... I don't know, just a cool idea.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm glad we could do that.
And exactly. Which is a problem that no one asked my opinion on. It's not even like me trying to like fix it because I know I can't.
Yeah.
It's just something that, you know, that I've actually seen.
Sure.
Growing up with just my mom and, mm-hmm. and sisters and stuff.
They're surrounded by
it. So, and like, he was like, you know what? Like, I not that like, I know how it is, but like, it was something brought to my attention.
Sure.
That you know what? I would like to acknowledge, that's all.
Yeah, and I think it's something that never shouldn't be brought up.
Or exactly.
That, like, there isn't a time for it or anything. Like,
yeah.
There's always a time to talk about how shitty things are and how we can make them better and mm-hmm. to acknowledge the experience of people who have gone through shitty things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was, that's my whole take on that. So, there you go, man. That's...
Yeah, so vocally, lyrically, it's cool. Musically... this song was just like a weird like combination of just Dylan and I just noodling around. like I'm trying to think of the riffs we wrote and the things that we did, and like the beginning riff, that little do 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 do, that riff that he plays that I come in on with the cymbals.
Mm-hmm.
That was just a random little rhythm that Dylan just like wrote on the spot, and I'm like, yeah, I'll learn it. Shit, cool.
Yeah, honestly, because I wasn't even a part of the writing. I just felt like, I was like, okay, like, you guys do this. Like, you guys should, like, write this. And then,
oh, shit, okay, and then I do this.
I came back in an hour, like, okay, we're done. And I'm like, what? Like, okay, cool, man. And it was awesome. No, I do remember the writing process between you two, and I remember it being really cool and stuff. And
yeah, and you did, like, offer help, too. Like, I mean, you were always in the room making suggestions and stuff.
I guess, maybe. Yeah. I was probably, knowing me, micromanaging as I always do.
I just like, there's like, it's a, musically it's a combination between like weird little rhythms and little noodles that both of us wrote and just like caveman riffs.
That's, yeah, because I remember a drum beat that you wrote.
Yeah.
And that Dylan was like, oh, what do I have to do? Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like fucking around. We were just like, I don't know, I think we weren't really doing anything. We're like taking a break at practice, and I was just...
Yeah,
fucking around a little riff, and you're just like, "What is that?" And I'm like, I don't
"Screwed
know,
around
dude.
With that guy." Shit. Yeah, but no, I
and, then, and then immediately we're just like, "Just put blast beats on it."
Yeah,
let's
right.
Go, let's
yeah,
go, let's go.
No, and then the synths on top.
Yeah,
I think all done by Dylan.
Yeah,
I think those are all Dylan's.
He's really good at making noise.
Oh man, noisiest guy I know.
Both on synths and the things just, that come out of his mouth.
For those of you who don't know Dylan, he is a walking, talking, living, breathing cartoon character.
Ever seen is what's the movie? Police Academy.
Yeah, he's that guy. And I know his name. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but yeah, Dylan just makes a bunch of funny, goofy noises, like borderline Tourette's or something.
He does this thing where he like inhales and makes just the highest shrieking pitch. But it's three octaves higher,
like sonic,
and he'll just do it for 30 seconds at a time.
Or sonar, sonar level.
Wild stuff.
Dylan did all the synths and it sounds great. And that is one of my favorite songs that we've done.
It's always like, I think it's one of those songs that puts a strain on like all of us. Like it's not easy to play.
No.
There are parts of it, like it's kind of a gauntlet for me to play, because it's just like I'm wailing on the right hand most of the song. So like it's a lot to play. You're just screaming into a microphone for 3 minutes straight, and Dylan's doing Dylan things. So it's always like, it's hard to play.
It
but
is.
But it's fun. It's very much like one of those like anger outlet songs where kind of just beat shit and be a caveman for a bit.
Yeah, and I think this is the song that, like, I don't know, like, this is, like, unarguably, like, this is the heaviest song that...
Yeah.
On the album, that and that we've ever had.
Yeah.
But which is cool, because, like, we all like heavy music, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, and I always thought that showed in stuff.
I don't think so, though.
I know, but then people were like, oh, yeah, you guys are pretty chill. I'm like, really? Like, because I mean, I love metal and hardcore and stuff, and
yeah.
I guess it never really showed, and so I guess it is really cool. This song better show it.
I know.
if not, I'm just going to give up trying to show it, because, there's blast beats and, like, heavy stuff.
Oh,
and,
sure,
like,
sure.
So I was, like, thought, like, it would peak here and there, but I guess it never, like, truly... was on in the spotlight.
I don't think we've ever like committed to the bit before.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
for a whole song, mm-hmm. you know?
Or like even a long enough chunk of a song.
Yeah, because people like tell us this, they're just like, man, you like write a heavy riff for like 20 seconds and then you just move on. I'm like, yeah, I know, it's great, right?
Yeah. Who's got the attention on your span toes. For that? No, not I, said the fly. Yeah. But yeah, definitely one of my favorite songs just because it does adhere to my taste in heavy music.
Yeah.
And I do think it's like one of the most different songs we've done too.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those like, oh, we're playing with a bunch of hardcore bands. Let's just play that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is good to have that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To blend in, right?
Yeah.
To not spook them off so fast. Metal folk or simple folk.
Man. It's yeah. like, oh, you're playing with the hardcore bands or the show kind of fucking sucks. So let's just play a song that's going to freak everybody out.
Let's disrespect it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, that's all I got to say on that song. So
yeah.
Thank you guys for staying tuned. We're almost done. I'm getting there, man. So mm-hmm. thanks for sticking around and keep listening. Do the whole follow us, show your friends, tell all your friends. Christmas is around the corner.
Crimbus is coming.
Crimbus is coming. St. Crimbus is here. Just show people for Christmas. That's all you got to do. Or Hanukkah. That's 8 days of you showing. Yeah, mm-hmm. All of that. That's so for every holiday. Just
do we have 8 songs on the album? Is that a new song for every day of Hanukkah?
I think we have 9.
Oh.
So that includes Christmas, too. Okay. That's all fair, Hanukkah fair and Christmas. Okay. Yeah. Anyway,
anyways.
Holy smokes. Thanks, yep. guys.
Adios. Suddenly, without warning, my welcome mat had been won.